So there are times as I write sermons that I'm really excited to get up here on Sunday morning and just bring it. There's other times where I prepare a message and I'm just like, oh man, I have to preach this one, don't I? And then there's times where it's both. This is one of those. I am so excited to preach this, and at the same time, I'm like, oh man, this one's going to be rough. Because I know it's a truth that we don't always want to hear. And so that's why I'm kind of stuck this morning, and I'm also excited at the same time. And if you have your Bibles with you, you want to open them to 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's where we're going to start as we continue our study on urban legends. And no, as we talk about urban legends, we're not talking about El Chupacabra. We're not talking about Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. We're talking about myths where the Bible is concerned. We're talking about spiritual urban legends regarding who God is and how God interacts with you and I, his creation. Today, I want to talk to you about a spiritual urban legend that I think is one of the most dangerous and yet one of the most common spiritual urban legends that you will hear in the American church today. You will hear people talk about this. You will hear it on TV today. You will hear it from other preachers. You'll read books about it. You will hear it over and over and over again. And it is a message that feels really good when you hear it. It's a message that feels encouraging and uplifting. Here is the urban legend. It goes something like this. God wants you to be happy. God has good things in store for you in this life. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants to prosper you in every single way there is. The bottom line is God wants you happy. And there is a huge danger here in this line of thinking. This theology of happiness. And the danger is that it elevates us to the point where God is there to serve us rather than the truth, and that is that we are here to serve him. Does that make sense? It's very subtle, and yet it's very, very seductive. It draws you in. You can see it even permeating our children's stories. Read any fairy tale, any story to a kid, and you will always hear it close out with the same famous line, and they all lived, what? Happily ever after. Of course they do. Because that's the dream, that's the pursuit, that's the goal everyone lives for and wishes that it were true. The problem is this is not reality. This is not what we live in. People don't always live happily ever after. They live with reality. They live in a broken, sin-filled world, and that reality permeates everything that we experience. And sometimes stories don't have a happy ending. And I think because of that, because of the awareness of the messed up world that we live in, the positive message that God wants you happy, it just feels so good. It just feels right. But feeling right and being right are two very different things. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For a time is coming where people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after spiritual urban legends or myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation." And what I would love to tell you this morning is this. I would love to tell you that if you just come to God, if you just turn your life over to him, you will have the best year that you have ever had. Everything will work out. You will always be happy because God wants you happy. God only has good things in store for you. The problem is, though, when we believe that God revolves around us, we reduce a holy God of the universe into a cosmic vending machine. And what we do is we put our quarters in and we say our little prayer and we press the button choosing which we want and we expect God to deliver. And if what we pray for doesn't come out of a slot, we blame God. It's his fault. Because if God wants me happy and I'm not happy, then there's something wrong. And therein lies the danger of this very subtle and very seductive urban legend that God wants you happy. Understand this. If God wants me happy, and I'm not happy, then God failed. Because if we believe God is all-powerful and God wants me happy and I'm not happy, then God is the one who messed up. If God really desires for me to be happy but I am miserable, then God didn't deliver on his promise. He didn't do what I needed him to do to make me happy. So as much as everyone wants to believe God wants me happy, and as often as you will hear God wants you happy, God wants you to be this way, as often as you will hear that, today I'm going to share with you three different times that God does not want you happy. He doesn't want you happy in these three areas. And if you're taking notes, the first one is this, and this is very, very true. Never forget it. God never, ever, God does not want you happy when it causes you to sin. There's no wiggle room on this one. God does not want you happy when it causes you to sin. God never wants us happy when it causes us to sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But now you must be happy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is happy. I think I messed that up. What does it say? Yes, I must have misread that. Scripture says, but now you must be what? Just as God who chose you is what? You see, in God's spiritual economy, our happiness is never the bottom line. Our happiness is never the bottom line. God never calls us to sacrifice his standards in the name of happiness. God is far more concerned with your holiness than he is about your happiness. And with regard to your happiness, he will sacrifice that in a second if it will contribute to your holiness, to you becoming more like him, set apart, called out, pure. That only happens when we are willing to submit to his authority in our lives. And I hope that you won't miss the heart of this, because I believe with all my heart that God is a good God. I know this started off really on a downer. But I want you to know God is a good God, and he wants good things for you. Scripture says he is. Scripture says that he loves to give good gifts to his children. And with everything in me, I know that God delights in the happiness of his children. God delights in my happiness. I know that. But that doesn't mean that God always wants me happy. Because if my happiness, if I'm choosing something that would make me happy and it's leading me down the path to sin, God does not want that for my life. I got six kids, soon to be seven. And as the father of six kids, I love it when I can make my kids happy. It brings me great joy to make my kids happy. I love it, love it, love it, love it. In fact, when they had the big Labor Day sale this year, we splurged and bought Six Flags passes next year for the family. We're excited about that. The kids absolutely love it there. They love the rides. They love the food. They love the games. They just don't like the lines. That's the one thing you don't like when you go to Six Flags. So one time we were there, Elijah and I got in line, and we passed the end of the line, you know, when people are actually getting on the ride, and you're like the promised land, you know, they're walking onto the ride, and you pass that right as you get on the ride. You get into the end of the line. You got an hour and a half of winding through turnstiles, and you past the people who are getting onto the ride. It's cruel and unusual that they set it up that way, don't you think? And so we get in line, and you could see the people walking onto the ride, and it's harsh. And so Eli says, Dad, I can just crawl through this right here and get right in front of the line. I wouldn't have to wait at all. You just stay here, and I'll see you at the end. And I knew it would make him happy, so I just let him do it. No, I didn't do that. Yes, I want Eli happy, but not at the expense of someone else and not at the expense of his safety. If it's not the right thing, no matter how much he wants to do it, nor how happy it will make him, I don't want him happy if it causes him to sin, if it causes him to hurt someone else. Now, none of that happened. I just made all that up for Eli. But how does this play out in, let's just say, in the church world, in the everyday church world? Here's a few examples for you and for me. Scripture teaches us that if you are a follower of Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ. We're a part of God's family here. And that means in the local church, God has something for you to do to serve. God has something for you to do, to plug into, to use your gifts that God has given you. In other words, if you are not serving, if you are not using your gifts in the church, then something that God wants to get done is not being done because God has a place for you. And in our American feel-good culture, what far too many churchgoers say and act like this. They say, I don't want to do anything at church. I just want to go when I want to, which is occasionally. And I don't want to do anything. I don't want to serve because I've been busy all week long. The weekend is my downtime. This is my time. I want to go and just kind of be there. I don't want to serve because this is about me and I want to be happy. Now, that's not you. That's not any of you. Because you guys are awesome. And you guys get this. You understand that life is about God first, others second, and self last. God first, others second, self last. But way too many people flip that completely on its head and they start with my happiness is top priority. Let's talk about finances. Scripture teaches us that we should be giving people, that we're called to be a generous people. We give to others. We give to the church. But what do people say? I'm not going to give that much money. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. It's my money. I worked hard for that. I'm not giving that much money to God. I'm going to do something with it myself because I want to be happy. College. Someone is in college. This class is too hard. I don't like college. Quit. That would make me happy. Maybe you're at a job you don't like. What do we see now? I'm not happy in this job. It may not be that God wanted me there to make a difference in someone else's life, and he's got me there for a purpose or a reason. Or maybe God was going to do something to my life in an uncomfortable situation, but I'm not happy, so I quit. We eliminate the resistance in our lives before God has an opportunity to make us stronger through it. Marriage, my spouse is not making me happy, so I quit the marriage. Dating world, boy meets girl. Girl smells good. Boy, he says, God gave me these desires. I know the Bible says I should wait until I'm married, but we're in love anyway, and this makes us happy, so I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want. This makes me happy. Do you see how subtle and how dangerous this line of thinking is? Let me tell you the conversation that I've heard way too many times. We hear it at the gym. We hear it at the office. We hear it when we're binge-watching shows on Netflix. Hey, dude, how's it going? Much better now. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, I used to be married to so-and-so. You're not married anymore? What happened? Well, we just weren't happy, so we ended it. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Well, are you happy now? Yes, I'm happy now. Oh, well, that's good, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters, is that you're happy. Church, that has never been all that matters. Understand, God does not want you happy when it causes you to sin. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul is making a very powerful argument, and he asks this question. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He's kind of saying, you know, if God's going to forgive me anyway, and I'm having fun, and it makes me happy, why stop? Shall we continue to sin so that grace may increase? He said, by no means, under no circumstances, do we continue sinning so God can just forgive us if we like it. He says, we've already died to that. How can we live in it any longer? And as much as we want to believe it's all about our happiness, it is not. Our happiness is never the bottom line in God's spiritual economy. So thought number one, God does not want you happy when it causes you to sin. Thought number two, this is just as important. God doesn't want you happy when it's driven by circumstances. God does not want you happy when it's driven by circumstances, when it's the things that happen around you that cause you to be happy. Ecclesiastes 7:14, enjoy prosperity while you can. When times are good, enjoy it. Have a blast. Embrace it. But when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow. The good times are from God, but guess what? So are the hard times. Why? Because God allows us to go through different experiences in life to shape us, to mold us, to refine us, to put the character of Christ within us, to teach us dependence on his Holy Spirit. We think that our life needs to be smooth and easygoing and have no obstacles in the way and everything needs to be perfect. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I want to strengthen you. I want to teach you. I want to empower you. I want to teach you to depend on me. God doesn't want you happy when it's based on happenings, because that should not be the source of our happiness. There is something deeper and something richer, and that is what Scripture calls joy. And joy is something that is not based on what is going on around. Joy is something that's based on what's inside. Joy is based on a deeper truth that is deep within us, that is not influencing us from the outside, but it is welling up from inside. It's a bit like this. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a story about a son. We often refer to him as the prodigal son in this story. And I want you to listen carefully to what happens here, because you might recognize yourself somewhat in this story. The younger son here had everything you could ever want, much like everybody that I know in living in the United States. And yet he said, "Father, I don't like your ways. I don't like your rules. Give me my share of everything. I want to do what I want to do," which is what many of us do when it comes to God. "God, I want to do what I want to do." And so the son went out and he partied and he blew all of his money and he tried all these things and he did everything he thought that was going to make him happy. And in his pursuit of happiness, he became miserable. And I want you to think about this. In his pursuit of happiness, he became miserable. Now, this picture behind me right now, does anyone know who that is? Anyone? Go ahead. Who is it? That is true. That is Jack Ma, the richest man in China, the founder of Alibaba, China's version of Amazon, worth $25 billion right there. And he was recently quoted as saying this: "I was happier making $12 a month than I am now." Worth $25 billion, I was happier making $12 a month than I am now. What do we see all around us today? Well, maybe this will make me happy. Maybe this will make me happy. Maybe this will make me happy. No, how about that? That'll make me happy. And in our pursuit of happiness, so many people we know are the most discontented and most miserable people anywhere. Think about this. Internalize this. Like the prodigal, in the pursuit of happiness, most people become miserable. It's all about what we want. And when it becomes all about what we want, there's no compass to direct us. There's no anchor to hold us. We became blown around by everything that's going on around us, and we become victims of our circumstances. God does not want you happy when it is based on happenings. There's a deeper gift that God gives us, and that's a gift of joy and contentment that we can find in the life of the Apostle Paul. I want to read you a verse that's fairly well known, Philippians 4, but before we read it, let me just remind you of the context in which this verse was written. The Apostle Paul was writing this from within a prison. Okay, he's in a prison. It's not like a modern-day prison that we know with cable and nice meals and everything. This is a dank prison. This is not a place where you want to be. He's locked up to another Roman soldier. And don't forget this, while he's in prison, he's waiting on a decision that would decide whether he would be executed or whether he would live. They're deciding his fate. So in other words, life wasn't really great for Paul right now. He's in prison waiting to hear whether he's going to be executed. And here is what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Now listen to what Paul is saying. "I've had it all. I've lost it all. I've been healthy and I've been hurting. I've been blessed and I've been cursed. But I have a secret that most people miss. I have a joy and I have a divine contentedness that is not based on happenings. It's not based on my circumstances. It is based on something internal that no one else can see. And that is that I can do everything. I can make it. I can make it through this. I can make it while being locked up in prison. I can make it if they kill me. How? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." There is something internal that sustains me. And some of you know that strength because you've been through some of the worst things that this life has to throw at you. You've had your back against the wall. You've been at death's door. You've seen a loved one at death's door. You've lost loved ones. You've lost your job. You've gone bankrupt. You've been through divorce. You've lost children. You've been through heartache again and again. And yet you can stand strong and tall knowing that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And I don't know what all of you are facing right now. Some of you may have walked in right now and your circumstances stink right now. You're facing maybe the darkest period of life you've ever gone through before. And I want you to know that that promise of God is not conditional based on your circumstances. It's conditional based on your surrender. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God wants you more than happy. He wants you to have a joy no matter what is going on the outside. And understand that we all want to believe that God wants you happy, but not always. He doesn't want you happy when it causes you to sin. He doesn't want you happy when it's based on circumstances. And number three, God doesn't want you happy as much as God wants you blessed. God doesn't want you happy as much as God wants you blessed. I love this Greek New Testament word here that is translated as blessed. What this word means is it means supremely blessed. It's a superlative when it comes to blessing. The word very literally, it means more than happy. Do you understand that? If you are pursuing happiness, if that is your goal, you may be very likely insulting the heart of God. Because why are you shooting so low? Why are you aiming for happiness when God has blessing? Why are you settling for something that doesn't last? Why are you pursuing something that isn't even possible all of the time? It was Jesus who said, "In this world you will have trouble. But take heart." He said, "I have overcome the world." God doesn't want you happy as much as he wants you blessed. Who is blessed? Let's talk about that. Psalm 112 tells us a group of people who are blessed. It says, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands." Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. When have we forgotten the fear of God? And I'm not talking about the I'm scared fear, but a reverent fear of a holy God. What do we say now in our culture, in our society, and even sometimes for people in church? "Oh, God, he's my co-pilot." Huh, okay. "Jesus, he's my homeboy." No, he ain't your homeboy. What about he is the supreme creator, the righteous judge of the universe? He is so holy, he cannot even look upon sin. He is so holy that we cannot see him in his purest essence and live that kind of God. And if you ask people today, "Are you blessed?" Here's what you hear. "Ah, dude, praise report. God blessed me with a new F-150. Glory to God." Right? Or some version of that. "Oh, we are so blessed. We got this house." Or, you know, "Oh, dude, we're blessed. I got a raise, you know." Okay, who's blessed? Who is more than happy? Let me show you what Jesus said in Matthew 5 with regard to who is blessed. And he said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Let me pause for just a moment because there's some of you right now, you are hurting right now in your life. You are mourning. And let me remind you that you are blessed of God. Why? Because you will be comforted and you will learn a side of God that many people have not experienced yet. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And notice it doesn't say, "Blessed are those who pursue material things of this world that do not last." Doesn't say that. It said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Why? Because they will be filled. The others will be left empty. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want the worship team to come back up and join me, and I want us to look now at verse 11 in Matthew chapter 5. And listen to what it says now. For those of us who maybe have been operating under the misconception that God wants us happy all the time. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's not pleasant. Nobody wants and likes to be persecuted. Nobody likes to be insulted. Nobody likes to have evil said about them. We can get calloused against it. We're not really going to enjoy it, but we can have an internal joy, a blessing that goes beyond happiness when we know that it is because of the cause of Christ that we're receiving it. It's not happiness. So bad news is God doesn't want you happy all the time. It's just not true. The good news is he wants you more than happy, church. He wants you blessed. He wants you to live with joy. Let me tell you some neat things about blessings. Sometimes God will bless you with a job where you make a ton more money, and that's from him. He will bless you with it, and what does he want you to do with it? Well, chances are he's going to want you to learn to be generous like you've never been before. He's the God who gives wealth. He does. It's not a bad thing. Give more, enjoy more, save more, give more again. It's from God. God may bless you with healthy children. Enjoy them. It's how he might bless you. And God might bless you with conflict-free living for a while, where you'll just go without any problems. Enjoy it. Embrace it. But understand this, church. God may bless you in another way, in a different way. Instead of getting the higher-paying job, God may bless you and allow you to lose your job. Why? So you can learn to trust in him like you never, ever have before. Or so that you can finally pay attention to your kids that you've been neglecting when you're supposed to be doing something for them, when you were building a career instead of a family. Or so that your marriage that has been struggling because you've neglected it can flourish, because now you've got to pay attention to it. God could bless you that way. God could bless you with healthy kids, or he could bless you with a child with incredible special needs. And you may experience the love of God through that child in ways that you never, ever thought of before. God could bless you with conflict-free living for a while, or God could bless you with conflict and trouble and persecution and those who hate you because you love him, and you are still blessed. So as much as I would like to tell you, come to God and everything's going to be okay, if I did that, I would be lying to you, because sometimes that is just not true. But what I will tell you is this. In Psalm 37:4, it tells us, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Hebrew word for delight means to be made soft or pliable. It means to delight or enjoy, but it also means to kind of be bendable and moldable. Here's what we do not do. We do not go to God for him to serve our desires and to make us happy. We go to God as his servant, true to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we enjoy him, as we delight in him, what he does is he implants his desires in us. And they are no longer our desires, but they are his, that he instills within us. And as his desires become our desires, then he loves to give us and fulfill the desires of our heart. How do we get there? Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Not seek happiness, not seek the things that we want, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. And so I've got good news for you. The good news is God doesn't always want you happy. That's the good news. Happiness is settling. It's settling for less than the best. He's always got something much, much better for you than happiness. He wants you to experience joy and blessing. Let's pray together. Jesus, right now we ask that we would never pursue what we want, but we would pursue you at all times. And God, I pray for a deep-rooted joy in every person in this place. And a blessing that goes beyond happiness. A blessing that goes beyond circumstances. A blessing that comes straight from you.